There's an interesting rhythm to the liturgical year. Each Sunday and sequence of Sundays have themes. And the Easter season starts on Easter Sunday and goes for a subsequent 6 weeks. There are seven Sundays in the Easter season, in effect, a week of weeks, if you will. And some of the early themes coming immediately after Easter involve resurrection appearances of Jesus, and then as we move toward the end of that, looking toward Pentecost and the life of the church inspired or living with the power of God's Holy Spirit. But right in the middle of the Easter season, which is this Sunday, it's known as Shepherd Sunday. And the theme of Shepherd Sunday is obviously, the Lord is my shepherd, or in the Gospels, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. And it's this odd little interlude that I think speaks directly to the here and now, not just the resurrection appearance in Jesus' life after his own death and leading to our own presumed eternal life, or the inbreaking of the Holy Spirit and so on, but this is the Sunday where the meaning of Easter, I think, comes real in real life. And it has to do, I think, with, what I often do on this particular Sunday is offer an interpretation of the 23rd Psalm and then connect it to some of our themes in the New Testament. So I have the 23rd Psalm right here. I've got a crib sheet. And I've got several of these, and I'll put them in the back, and if anybody wants it, you know. I think it is known as the Psalm of David. Presumably King David wrote it among many other psalms in that book. The thinking by most scholars is that he wrote it near the end of his life, and David had quite a life. We'll get into that in a minute. But I think the psalm, there's some interesting rhythm to the themes in the 23rd Psalm. The first part of it, I think, is David's assessment of who God is in his life. And as it moves through, I think it tells us a lot about who David knows himself to be in relationship to his God. And then I would summarize it by saying it gives us kind of a mantra, something to hold on to as we move through our own life. The first few verses, and of course you know these as well as perhaps you know anything, you know, from memory. The Lord is my shepherd, which connotates an image of companion rather than engineer. Now, sometimes we'd just soon have God engineering our life or even puppeting it, you know, keep us away from all this. But God is a companion, a shepherd, a kind of leader by example. I shall not want. Not so sure about that. I want lots of things. Well, it doesn't say I shall not wish. It says I shall not want. In other words, what God gives us is enough to meet our needs. I'm fond of pointing out to my students that if you simply did the arithmetic, there is enough available food on planet Earth to meet the daily nutritional requirements of every human being. Then the question is, why are people starving? Well, that has to do with decisions that we make on how to distribute this stuff. So we've got, you know, and that's a whole other sermon on repentance and sharing and stewardship. But the fact is, we shall not want unless we sort of force want on others. And we'll get to that whole thing in a little bit too. But God gives us what we need, if not always what we wish for, a companion who provides. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. There's a serenity that David claims he gets from the shepherd image of his God. I remember preaching a sermon one time using this particular verse, and the sermon was called Take Your Break. You know, it's like we get on autopilot so much that the shepherd who guides and leads us kicks off the cruise control and helps us settle down a minute, take a breath. And of course, the church has institutionalized that with the Sabbath. He maketh me to lie down, take a breath, take a break beside still water, for nourishment and reflection. He restoreth my soul. Well, that's the point of taking a break and getting back to it, restored and strengthened. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And the takeaway on that verse for me is always the plural of the word path. You know, sometimes we'd like to think that God will show us the one and only singular, now and forever right way. I don't think there is such a thing as a one and only singular right way, right time, or even right idea. It's always in context. And the idea that there are lots of different ways to be right, or even that we have the free will to choose paths that maybe become right or righteous or redirect us to what is, I think stems or illustrates the power of a God who is our companion, again, not our engineer. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. At this point, the psalm takes an interesting digression from this is me to I am. And you pointed this out in Sunday school a couple weeks ago, that there's this one verse in here that becomes extremely and rather dramatically personal for David. And at just this second, I'm going to skip it. Because I want to get to, I'll get back to it for a reason. It's, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And that, we'll get back to that. But the last part of the psalm, David is again talking about, I think, his own life in retrospect. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. David is a warrior king, and it is certainly true that in his long rule he had, well, maybe meals in the presence of his enemies negotiating peace, certainly meals when about to meet his enemies and sending his armies forth. And David sees himself as God's anointed to be a warrior for what God wants his kingdom to be about. And the psalm concludes, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David has been promised by his God that his kingdom, his dynasty, his legacy will remain forever. And in an odd sort of way, it works out that way. But now let's return to where David's me, this is me, becomes I am. He says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I'm interested in this for lots of reasons. One, because it doesn't say, yea, though God prevents me from the shadow of death, yea, though God keeps evil from me. It doesn't say that at all. And I think, especially imagining now David at the end of his life, he might be reflecting on how the valleys of shadows through which he has walked, some of which were of his own making, and some, of course, the result of decisions that others made in his legacy. David had a lot of drama and trauma in his life, some of which was his own making. The whole sordid Bathsheba killing Uriah by putting him in the front line story is an example of David, in effect, being the poster child for hypocrisy. Well, David pays a price for that. The child that is conceived with Bathsheba in that moment dies in infancy. David has many, many more children. His oldest son, Amnon, dies violently. His oldest son, Amnon, dies violently because his next oldest son, Absalom, kills him. Kills him because he has witnessed Amnon attacking their sister. You can read about it in 2 Samuel. It's a terribly violent story. Absalom dies violently. Absalom is serving in David's army under the command of Joab, David's military commander. Absalom plots an insurrection, and Joab kills him. David's next son, Adonijah, dies violently for largely the same reason. David dies. Adonijah wants the throne, but the throne has been passed to Solomon. So again, Solomon kills Adonijah as a traitor. And on it goes. David's life is characterized by death and violence and dark and deep shadows, some of his own making, some because of decisions others make in his legacy. And yet he says, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thou art with me. That's all it takes, apparently, for us to navigate our way through the valley of the shadows. David says near the end of his life, the Lord has been with me, and my legacy will continue. Being with is a powerful thing. Not solving problems, but keeping company. And there's a fascinating bridge to the shepherd's psalm to the good shepherd. I think of the way St. Luke describes the birth of Jesus, who is also known as Emmanuel, God with us. See how that goes? Starting to see a theme here, thou art with me. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be enrolled. And Joseph went up from Judea, out of Nazareth, to the city of Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. Bethlehem is David's royal city. And in case you missed it, the shepherds are out abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night, and suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were walking through the valley of the shadows. They were sore afraid. And the angel said, "Fear not, for unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." The city of David, hearkening back to David's poem about the good shepherd, or the Lord that is his shepherd, pointing forward out of his legacy, Jesus, who said, "I am the good shepherd." And in that passage, John chapter 10, verses 10 and 11, he says, "Not only am I the good shepherd, but I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly." Well, apparently the abundance of life includes green pastures and still waters and valleys and shadows. And I think that when you tie it all together, you're left with what I think has become for all of us something of a, well, I call it an anchor, something of a mantra. You know, we almost always use the 23rd Psalm at funerals. And it's a way of drawing emotional people together in a way that, well, that settles in some sense, that settles us. It's something most of us learned as children to memorize. Maybe one of the first poems we ever memorized, and maybe among the only Bible verses we know. And it really does settle you down, and it really does stay with you. Among my most enduring visions and images in my work of ministry is I've, from time to time, and not so much anymore, but for some time, would do afternoon worship services in nursing homes. I know Margie does this regularly now. And I would always include the 23rd Psalm, and it was almost miraculous and quite fascinating to watch, because in a group of folks in that setting, there are usually folks that are, well, I don't know where they are, and I'm sure they don't know where they are either. But what's fascinating is when they start hearing these words again, about the time you get to "He maketh me to lie down," almost always there'll be a slight turn of the head and you can begin to read lips, and people are bringing this back. And I don't know how cognitive that is or how reflexive it is, but I know that God is with them, that the Lord is their shepherd too. And it's a reassuring vision that the next time I'm strolling through the valley of the shadows, maybe most especially when I'm strolling through the valley of the shadows of my own making, that I'm not alone and that I'll get through. And there will be goodness and mercy for the good shepherd who continues to bring life to me and life abundantly to all of us. Amen.